In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Introduction. The story of the manger scene is familiar to most of us. Sweet little lambs looking over Jesus. Doe-eyed cows and camels standing nearby gazing at the little Christ child. Mary and Joseph snuggled warmly together, admiring the baby comfortable in his soft bed of hay. Wise men and shepherds gathering to worship and giving gifts to the king in the warm, well-lit stable. And always that magnificent star above to show the way. At least that's the image greeting card companies and church pageants have painted over the years. Somewhere along the way, the cave has been sanitized, the birth made painless, and the people involved stripped of all fear or emotion. It seems we have colored in or forgotten much of what happened to make that journey possible. Christmas today is a full-blown industry. Muzak fills malls and grocery stores with Winter Wonderland and the Little Drummer Boy before the Thanksgiving turkey is picked off the bone. Bell ringers take their places earlier each year, and meteorologists forecast the mildest day to do that last-minute shopping. Cards with the scribbled signature of someone you vaguely know in the family tree cram your mailbox, and on TV, a big-haired woman wearing an impish elf skirt and Santa hat sits on the side of a hot tub and invites you to buy one today at rock-bottom Christmas prices. Where has the wonderment gone? Where is the sense that 1 plus 1 somehow no longer equal 2, but add up to 1,000,000 on that dazzling, holy, and remarkable day? I wrote this several years ago for a church Christmas banquet. I read it as a narrative then, as a reminder, and still do today. I hope you will do the same, so you won't forget. And now, the Christmas journey. They have to go. They have no choice. Emperor Caesar Augustus has issued a decree that a census will be taken of the entire Roman world to aid in military drafting and tax collection. Although the Jews do not have to serve in the Roman army, but since they are obligated to pay taxes to Rome, everyone will have to go and register at the place of their ancestral home. For Joseph's family, it would be over 70 miles and a 4 to 7 day walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the town of his ancestors. It's not going to be an easy journey either, considering the shape Mary is in. She is 9 months pregnant and will have to make the trip that winds through wilderness, desert, and mountainside, sitting side saddle on a donkey and feeling every rock and bump along the way. Joseph leads the donkey out of the village at dawn. Mary's eyes are heavy, but he spent a sleepless night and has been awake for hours waiting for light. The smell of fish and eggs cooking on morning fires saturates the street with a misty fog as families prepare for breakfast. Joseph's stomach rumbles as he packs the donkey. He should have eaten more, but is anxious to get on the road. His eyes meet Mary's as he helps her onto the donkey. He nods and she smiles in the half-light. Joseph walks beside the donkey, and although he does not look at them, he feels the eyes of his neighbors as they pass. The chattering of three women drawing water ceases as he and Mary go by, and Mary keeps her head down. She has long known what they think of her. The laughter of two men mending a fishing net subsides to a whisper as the donkey approaches, and children stop playing in the street when their mothers clack their tongues and snap their fingers. Joseph sets his jaw and ignores them, relieved to get away for a while. The angel of God had visited him and Mary about this baby, but he hadn't visited everyone in town. Joseph has heard the townspeople ridicule Mary. He has seen them point and then turn away, ostracizing her with their clenched teeth and cold shoulders. "Perversion," they have said, "prostituted under the nose of her father." The gossiped indictments and whispered innuendos have seeped under every doorway. The conception was not cloaked in anonymity. Everyone knew her name.